The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy ya.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Yeah, Johnny Carson always used to say, do not go on air with kids or animals. You will be upstaged. And old Peter there calling me up said I was the most exciting thing he had right now. Notice the level of enthusiasm in his voice. If I might mimic it. You're about the most exciting thing I have right now. Little Stephen Wright, huh? All right, this is The Doctor Is In, the Monday version, E-Person Monday. I will not say email. So patriarchal. Linguistically, incredibly insensitive. No, I'm going to keep up with the ever-changing language. Every 4 days it changes. Something you say today could be no longer permitted by the language police. As I get older, though, I'm becoming my grandfather. I'm doing a lot more. By the way, I don't really know how long I'm going to be doing this program because, well, I can come out with this, I guess. I just got an invitation to write a syndicated column. Now, I used to write syndicated columns. This was a while back, and I stopped doing that because I just didn't want to put out something all the time. But I got approached. You see what you think on this. I think I got a pretty good chance. Now, if this doesn't work out, I'll still stay here because I really enjoy being with you people. But they send you these sample questions, and they want to see how you answer it, how good you are at it. Are you empathic? Can you relate? Which I think I can. I think I'll prove it. Here it is. Dear Dr. Ray, the other day I set off for work, leaving my husband in the house watching TV. I hadn't gone more than a mile when my engine conked out. The car shuddered to a halt. I walked back home, only to find my husband sitting at the breakfast table, holding the hands of our neighbor lady. He was let go from his job 6 months ago. He says he's been feeling increasingly depressed and worthless. I love him, but I don't know if I can trust him. What do I do? Sincerely, hurting and frustrated. Now, keep in mind, they set up these scenarios because they want you to respond and they want to measure how you can connect with the people who are responding. So this is what I wrote back. They've got it. They've got it in their hands now. If they judge me as suitable, I will begin writing a syndicated column. Dear frustrated and hurting, a car stalling can be caused by a variety of faults with the engine. Check that there is no debris in the fuel line. If it is clear, check the Jubilee clips holding the vacuum pipes onto the inlet manifold. It could be also that the fuel pump itself is faulty, causing low delivery pressure to the carburetor float chamber. I hope this helps. So I'm pretty sure I've got the inside track. I don't know who else is competing with me for the title of most sensitive. But see what you think. I think I've done a good job there. Gambling. You know what it's based on? Much of gambling is based upon what the behavior psychologists call a variable ratio reinforcement schedule. Sounds fancy, doesn't it? You go to a slot machine. You go to Vegas. As soon as you get off the plane, you walk into the airport. All you hear is ding, 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 ding. I remember one time I had to sleep in the Vegas airport, and I couldn't because of the bells and whistles going on constantly. So you play a slot machine. What happens? You lose most of the time, but every so often, it pays off. But you don't know when it's going to pay off. It pays off at random. And random is another way of saying variable ratio reinforcement schedule. Variable means, of course, what it says. Could be every 3 times, could be every 9 times, could be every 12 times. Ratio means how often between payoffs. What's the ratio? 3, 6, 12, 9, whatever. Reinforcement, of course, is the reward you get. And the schedule is what it's based upon. Now, the slot machines are based upon that. When a child lies to you, and it's frustrating because, in fact, that he tries to get away with this, and you catch him, and you think, I caught him. So why is he still doing this? Why is lying so difficult to eradicate? Because it pays off on a variable ratio schedule. He gets away with it every so often. He does. You can't catch him every time. Matter of fact, that variable ratio schedule might be very high. You know, slot machines will pay off every, what, 20, 30 times? If you lie to a parent to avoid getting disciplined, which is really the number one reason why kids lie. It is. It's by far. It dwarfs the old storytelling lie, the wild stories. Hey, Mom, you know, a rhinoceros came into our classroom and I jumped on its back and grabbed its horn and pulled it to the ground and saved everybody. Those kind of far-fetched wild story lies are much less common than the lie, I didn't do it. I wasn't in the universe when it happened. Do you have closed-circuit camera tape to prove it? You can't prove it. You may think it, but you can't prove it. So, if a child clings to a falsehood, there will be times that he will avoid getting disciplined. The payoff. The payoff is not to get a consequence, which is really what they call negative reinforcement. Negative reinforcement is not punishment. Negative reinforcement is the removal of an aversive consequence. People mistake that all the time. They say punishment, negative reinforcement. No. Negative reinforcement is you're going to take away something that would be hurtful or bad to me, and therefore, once that happens, I'm more likely to do the behavior, and lying can get you negatively reinforced. You took away punishment. You took away the consequence. That's why it is so tough to eradicate lying in an inveterate liar. Because the times you catch them is only a fraction of the time. What's a parent to do? Well, part of it is supervision. You're going to have to just, depending on the kid's age, you're going to have to reduce the chances of lies. For example, if you got a 15-year-old that you can't trust where they're going to be, then you're going to have to restrict all the places they can go. If you got a 6-year-old who is quick to deny, you're going to have to keep a closer eye on the 6-year-old. You can't let him necessarily go to the neighbor's house unsupervised because who knows what he'll do over there and who knows what he'll deny. Now, also, when you do know that they're lying and you do have evidence, make your consequences pretty firm. This is not your basic go sit on the steps for 4 minutes. We used to have a rule in our house that if we caught you in a lie,
that you lost a day or two, maybe three of privileges. Your consequences were high. Because trustworthiness is real important. And here's the other thing that helped us. Kids think that at the moment of their denying that they were in the universe when all this happened, that once they get past that moment, they're home free. If they know that's not the case, if they know that should any evidence come up that establishes that they weren't straightforward with you, then you will act upon that. You may find out something later. A witness comes forward, a 7-year-old sister who anonymously puts a report under your pillow, along with corroborating evidence that her 9-year-old brother, in fact, was the one who pulled up every flower in the front flower beds. Yeah. She's got the proof. You saw the dirt under his nails. He's kind of your version of a DNA. That's part of why that lying is hard to eradicate sometimes, because the kids are playing the slot machine. When am I going to get rewarded here? I'm going to get rewarded every so often by not being punished. Variable racial reinforcement schedule. So the next time you suspect one of your children is not telling you the truth, you just simply say, "So, what seems to be happening here is that you are taking advantage of the variable racial reinforcement schedule." At which point, the kid may be so intimidated by your erudite phrasing, he may say, "Okay, you got me, copper." All right, when we come back, your e-persons.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Pull away from the radio too fast, you could get IQ bends. Yeah, a little throbbing in the head. Your IQ has been up for this whole hour.
and then you just either turn it off quickly to get out of the car, to go into where you're going, or just turn it off because I'm irritating, whatever. You lower the volume slowly and back away from the radio or the car gently. Otherwise, you could get the bends. This is from, well, I won't say the name. It's from an uncle. I'm concerned about my niece. Her parents, my brother and his wife, are seeking help in dealing with her. My niece is 17 and has been hearing voices for years. Well, now, let me jump in here. That's a little unusual. If he were to have said, my niece is 17 and has just begun hearing voices, that would be less unusual, because when a psychosis of some type, neurochemically based, happens, it's typically late teens, sometimes in the 20s. So a young person, so for years, say 12, 13, 14 years of age, that's a little less common. See where this goes. Sometimes they tell her to hurt herself, and she has once or twice. These are what they call command hallucinations. The most common hallucination is auditory. You hear it. It's in your head, but it seems very real. And much of the time, people are convinced it's real. Someone, the disembodied voice, is telling me something or to do something, or, worst case scenario, to hurt someone or to hurt myself. Command hallucinations, that's what it sounds like Uncle is describing. Normally, one would never know this is happening. No one outside the family does, beside myself. My niece is a sweet, intelligent young lady with a bright future. Her parents are faithful Catholics who pray as a family every night, attend Mass, and homeschool. She does see a Catholic counselor and is on medicine. Now, by medicine, I think Uncle means medication for the voices. My brother is looking for something to help his child. Any advice you can give? Since she's seeing a counselor, my guess would be that the counselor has already gotten her a referral to a psychiatrist. If the voices continue despite the medication she is on, then I would imagine the psychiatrist would be open to experimenting with some other medications. Now, here's the good news I can give you, Uncle. Hallucinations are what is called positive psychotic symptoms. Positive meaning they're active. For example, a hallucination, a delusion, loose association in wording, word salad, which means in an extreme, the person just utters all kinds of disconnected sentences or words. Negative symptoms are harder to deal with via medication. They are social withdrawal, extremely poor hygiene to the point of virtually non-existent, apathy, lack of motivation, a social deterioration. Those are what they call the negative symptoms of a psychosis. And again, Dr. Ray, what causes this? Well, we're just on the very edge of understanding this. There's so much research going on and what exactly is happening in the brain. But I guess to say, these are not necessarily psychologically caused. As a matter of fact, they're not. Although they can have psychological complications. if someone's brain is not working right, they still have to navigate the world with a brain, as in this young lady's case, that is creating voices. Creating voices that are threatening. So, here's my suggestion. I would hope that the counselor allows dad and mom to go in and to, in fact, give the counselor what is going on. Oftentimes, the client, in this case a 17-year-old girl, either minimizes what is going on, is defensive, denies it, doesn't give the full picture. Many, many times, and those of you listening to me who have had sons or daughters who have had psychotic episodes, their level of insight into what is going on can be limited. So if they're in counseling, they're coming off during that hour as, yeah, relatively doing okay, because they just didn't mention the voices. They just didn't mention the idea that they think they're being spied upon by everyone who drives by their house, who is looking at them with binoculars and taking videos of them through their phone. They just didn't mention that. So, my suggestion is, have mom or dad get the counselor's permission, if necessary, maybe they've already done this, to sit down with the counselor and say, here is what is going on. Here is the full picture. And the medication that our daughter is on is not stopping this. They're breaking through. And that's not uncommon, by the way. Sometimes the medication is just a godsend. It's a miracle. It just takes away these kind of symptoms. On the other hand, the medication can be ineffective after a period of time. The symptoms can break through. There's this psychotic breaking through of the symptoms. I remember when I was working at the mental health center, one of the things they said was, when someone goes off their medication, the reigning idea was that they just didn't want to tolerate the side effects. Earlier meds had a lot of bad side effects. They truly did. They were much more sedative, and they had a lot of motoric side effects. And people just didn't like them, so they discontinued. But they began to realize that sometimes the psychosis breaks through the medication. If it does, the person begins to think, I don't need this. I'm fine. I don't need to be taking this stuff. And they quit. So have the parents monitor if, in fact, these symptoms are breaking through. And it's important that this young lady is not threatened by telling her parents that she's hearing these voices again. And what the voices are saying. I know when my daughter was experiencing some of this, the psychiatrist was asking her, are these command hallucinations? Are they telling you to do something to hurt yourself or to hurt somebody else? Those are the most dangerous kind of hallucinations. They're very real, and they can have a compelling component to them. So it's real important that this young lady knows that she can be totally upfront about this. And hopefully they will find the right medication so that these voices go away and all that is in her personality can come through without being sidetracked or without being tormented by these kinds of hallucinations. Okay. I'm Dr. Ray.
step away from the turmoil of the day. In A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, you'll find lessons that touch every aspect of our relationship with God and our neighbor. These meditations and prayers will help you turn to Jesus in your everyday life. A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
When we ask God our Father to deliver us from evil, are we referring to an idea or a person? We are not referring to an abstraction, says the Catholic Catechism. We are referring to a person, the evil one, Satan, the fallen angel, who throws himself across God's plan of salvation accomplished in Christ. Jesus labeled Satan a murderer, a liar, and the father of lies. We do not pray alone. We pray in communion with the Church for the whole human family. Our interdependence in the drama of sin and death is turned into solidarity in the body of Christ, the communion of saints. If one entrusts himself to God, one does not dread the devil. Victory over Satan, the prince of the world, was attained once and for all when Jesus freely gave himself over to death in order to give us his life. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Dr. Rigorini, a top graduate of Catholic Media's broadcast school of articulation and stuff. Cliche city. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. My website's drray.com. The bookstore on the website has 16 books. Yeah, I've discovered the secret to writing a lot of books. You can't worry about them being very good. But I hope they are. And they are on several on parenting, marriage, several on faith, emotions, several on what happens to you when people attack you because of your faith. So, different topics there on the website. We will be having a premium offer, which I think will be very nice. I don't get a chance to visit my website very often, but we plan to offer, if you buy 3 books, you're going to get one free. Yeah, 3 books you can choose from for free. And then if you buy 4, you get 2 of them for free. Oh, such a deal. All righty. Let me see what we got here in the phone. I've gone back to using my phone some. Dr. Ray, in watching your TV show today, the subject was apologies. A woman brought up the old Love Story show. Remember that? 1970. Ryan O'Neill and Ally McGraw. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Now, there was a movie called What's Up, Doc? With Barbara Streisand, and Ryan O'Neill was in that movie. And he said, was it he or she? One of the characters said, love means you never have to say you're sorry. And the character whom he or she was talking to said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I probably made that observation on the television show, which prompted this e-person. One thing bad about a phone, constantly goes into screen lock. Why does no one understand what it means? And this is
the writer's take on this. She says, love means you never have to say you're sorry, means you never do anything that you will have to apologize for. Okay, do you hear what she's saying? She's saying that love, you love someone, you won't do them wrong. Now, I thanked her for her insight, but as I thought about it more, the only way that would hold is perfect love means you would never do anything you have to apologize for. Because the irony is, the people we love the most are the ones we probably most need to apologize to, because we're around them the most, they're closest emotionally to us, they can bring out the strongest emotions in us. Come on, you love your kids. How often do you talk to them in ways you really should apologize? Or you love your spouse, but the bickering or the things you say to each other sometimes, or the scolding or the criticisms, lack of kindness. I think it's true that the more you love, the more you have to say you're sorry. Because you do things in the context of that very close relationship, in those strong emotions that that other person can elicit, that makes you say and do things feeling-wise that are pushing you. So in fact, the only way this is accurate is that the love of the Blessed Virgin would never have to say you're sorry, because she would never sin. The rest of us frail humans, have all kinds of stuff we got to apologize for. Now, she had another cliche she brought to my attention. My son thought that the golden years meant having a good time. I assure you, I'm not having a good time. As Betty Davis quoted, growing old is not for sissies. And then she closes her e-person with this. Be sure to tell people love is never having to say you're sorry means you do not hurt the one you love. And then you won't have to say you're sorry. Yes, that's right. Perfect love, which is something none of us are capable of. So I probably should say I'm sorry more than I do. Because one of the characteristics of fallen human nature is that we don't recognize how we can offend, how we can hurt, how we can do and say these things that were cold or insensitive or harmful, or we're justified in saying, you know, you provoke me, I'll provoke you back, but therefore I don't have to apologize for provoking you back because you started it. It's kind of like the old 6-year-old kid justification. He started it. Yeah, I punched him, but he started it. See, we have to watch that, because I guess you could say, if he started it means you never have to say you're sorry. Provocation means you never have to say you're sorry. It's not true, but that's kind of how we view it. All righty. What I do on these is that I always send out an email back that says, I addressed your e-person on e-person Monday. So, any more I want to say about that? No, I'm going to ditch that one and move to Dr. Ray. There's been several occasions when a neighbor questions me as to whether or not my children or my grandchildren are going to have more children after their second child is born. Why is it? People think they have a right to do this. I'm not one who retorts nastily, and I'm never prepared for this. I do say that I don't think they are opposed to having more children or another child, but I would like to be more forthright about the invasion of privacy. I've always been on good terms with my neighbors, but I don't want to cause a break. How should I respond? They, as have many Catholics, bought into the Planned Parenthood population control propaganda. You're right, Naomi. We can now comment on something as private as wanting children given by God. And the number is 2. You're allowed 2. You're allowed 1.86. After that, people feel that they just have every right to comment, which is such an irony, isn't it? It shows you how things are on their heads. We live in a society that says however sexually you want to behave is fine. Absolutely fine. Needs to be celebrated. Except having more than 1.86 children in marriage.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
They're all legitimate differences of opinion. In any religion, there are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life, lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. Do you ever feel guilty when you do something wrong? Guilt is a natural law of the universe, just like gravity. Gravity reminds us not to do certain things with our bodies without suffering painful consequences. Guilt is the psychological pain we experience after we did something wrong. It's also a warning that we need to fix the problem by finding forgiveness, making restitution, and going to confession. And that's something to appreciate. Today, ask someone to forgive you for what you did wrong, and tell them how much you appreciate feeling guilty and for the right of reconciliation. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Asking the question, hypothetically, if Dr. Ray speaks on the radio and there is no one listening, will your kid still be better? Will your husband pick up his socks? And will your mother-in-law think you are the finest mom she has ever seen? And we'll let you know this. Taking you aside on Christmas Eve. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. This is E-Person Monday, our Monday variant. Had to do it. Had to do it because of the number of E-Persons that we receive. Had to find some way to address at least a proportion of them. Mike has written me before. He's called into this program. His initial question was, he's got a couple of boys. They just flat out are disobedient. Now, the problem with that, when we say a kid is disobedient, we imply that the problem lies with the child. The majority, if not the vast majority of the time, the problem is not with the child. The problem is the dynamic between the way we are handling this particular child. And typically, we're simply not doing what we need to do to get better cooperation, discipline-wise. He says, I heard your podcast because I had addressed his E-Person an earlier show. It's strange to hear someone talk about your own situation. Anyway, Dr. Ray, to be honest, you were correct. By the way, That's a really good way to raise the odds you're going to get your e-person read. Just start out by saying I'm right. Or smart. Or intelligent. Whatever. Whatever the... Go to the thesaurus, look up intelligent, and then you can use any one of those adjectives. Start it out in your email, and you raise the chances you'll get heard. Before I started making the boys stand in the corner, because I told them, I said, look, Mike, you got to do something really simple here. The more simple something is, a consequence, the more likely you are to do it. The more likely you are to do it, the better it's going to work. And the better it works, the less you have to do it. Pretty straightforward discipline principles. Before I started making the boys stand in the corner, I was mostly negotiating, bargaining. I'd get very frustrated and say things like, how many times have I told you? Or if you do that again, he said, looking back, it was a joke. This is hard to admit. But I guess I'm human. The boys are now responding quicker to my instructions and warning. Just one. All right, Mike, let me stop there. Why is there one warning? I've heard a lot of experts say, give a child a warning. Wait a minute. Most of the stuff that parents deal with on a day-to-day basis, the child has long since known what your expectation or your rule or your standard is. You don't push your sister. I don't have to give you a warning every time you push your sister before I do something about it. I don't have to give you a warning when I ask you to turn off the TV and you ignore me. Why? This is all stuff that we have been over dozens, if not hundreds of times. So why is there a warning? I know why. Because we just don't want to seem autocratic. We don't want to seem like we're just jackbooted. We're going to go in there. We're not going to give you a warning. But wait a minute. If it's wrong, and the child knows it's wrong, and you've instructed the child so many times, isn't a warning just kind of a, okay, you can do it, but I warned you. You better stop. It's kind of like the kid who's disrespectful. He's talking nasty to his parents. And mom or dad says, I give him that look that's warning him. But wait a minute. He just talked nasty to you. So you're essentially saying you're allowed to talk nasty to me the first time of any interchange. Wow. What a gig. I can get snotty with my mom. She'll give me a warning and then I'll back off. Assuming I do, but if I'm any kind of savvy kid, I'm going to know I got a warning coming. So mom says something to me, I go, yeah, right, Raymond. And then I don't say any more. But yeah, but I just nailed her with a yeah, right. Disrespectful. So I'm not big on warnings because not that I want to be an autocrat, but that the warning basically says, here, you can do this, whatever it is that's unacceptable, once before I do something about it. And hypothetically, that could happen several times a day or more. Between the two boys, at least one ends up in the corner nearly every day. Here's what I want to say about that. Two boys, at least one, so that's one boy, 50%. End up in the corner nearly every day. So on average, between the two boys, you get somebody gone to the corner once every 2 days or so. These are either extremely well-behaved boys, very well-behaved, or, as parents, we still giving a lot of warnings, still overlooking a lot of stuff we probably shouldn't overlook for the sake of the kid. We've had a few corner-free days as well, so things have improved, and I don't get frustrated. I've also started using another method from the dinosaur age, writing out lines. They respond well to the corner, but I wanted something to have that I can use. I guess I use the P word, punishment. See, that's the That is a word that the experts don't like you using anymore. My oldest has problems remembering to complete the few responsibilities he has, like taking out the garbage. I reminded him twice Tuesday night that Wednesday was garbage day, and he forgot. I was able to take it out just in time, but that really isn't the issue when I came home from work. He apologized, which I appreciated. I made him write, I must not forget to take out the garbage again 100 times. He brought the lines to me, and I asked him if these lines will help him remember. He said, probably. And you know what I say, Dad? Probably not. The lines are not to drive in a memory. You know, I will take out the garbage, I will take out the garbage, I will take out the garbage. That isn't drilling itself into his cognition. What it's doing is it's a written timeout. He has to sit down and do it. And however long that takes him, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever, that's the consequence of impact. If my neighbor has a problem, and he's referring to a neighbor that really got on him because he was actually disciplining his boys, and the neighbor implied you're just going to crush their spirit, which is, oh, man, how do we ever get to that point where we say that fair, calm, loving discipline is crushing spirits? Oh, my Lord. I feel completely comfortable making him write 100 lines. I don't need anyone's approval. My oldest said to his brother in the car, don't bug me. We'll get in trouble and Dad will make a stand in the corner. I said, you're right, guys. And I asked my son what he thinks of the corner. He said he hates it because he hates having to stare at the corner. It's boring. I asked him if he finds that embarrassing. He said a little, only if there are other people around. And Dad concludes, that's a far cry from destroying an ego. I'm waiting for my neighbor to pop over one day when the corners are full. Talk about corners full. We had 10 of them. And at one point, they were 12 and under, all 10 of them. We ran out of corners. We had to go to different rooms. We had to use couches. We had to use steps. Had to use dining room table. We were running out all over the place. There's no magic in a corner. There's no magic in writing lines. There's no magic in sitting on your bed. Nothing. It's not the technique that is doing it. It's that the parent, in this case Mike, has broken the habit, the dynamic, the dance of endless talking, endless negotiation, endless words, endless arguing, endless persuading, endless nagging, endless frustration, all of which only create friction, frustration, and don't work. I'm Dr. Ray.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Not a whole lot of time to do another e-person. So, I'm going to give you some instructions. This is for the men out there. It's a handy guide. Should be as common as a driver's license in the wallet of every husband, boyfriend, or even male child. This is not a good thing when you walk in the house. Hey, what's for dinner? No. Better to say, can I help you with dinner? Or the best to say, where would you like to go for dinner? You get any idea? Okay. Bad thing to say if you're confronted with your wife becoming emotional. Bad. Why are you so worked up? No. Somewhat less bad. Could we be overreacting? Still dangerous. Still tricky turf. Safest thing to say, here's $50. Are you getting the idea? All right, getting ready to go out. Your wife is taking a long time to make herself look really, really good. Worst thing you can say. Are you going to wear that? Oh. What are you, crazy? It's kind of a death wish. You could say this. You know, you look good in brown. But that's still too specific. You could get an answer that says, what, I don't look good in black? I don't look good in red? Don't narrow it down. Wide open. Look at you. There. Okay? Now, this is among some of the worst things to say regarding food. Do you think you should be eating that? Oh! Could try this, little distraction. You know, there are some apples left in the refrigerator. But if you want to be totally safe, can I get you a glass of wine with that? There you go. Now, one last thing. This is bad. Men, coming in. Your wife's been home all day with the kids. This is dumb. This is really dumb. So, what did you do all day? No. Let's tone it down. Try this. I hope you didn't overdo it today. And the very best thing, I've always loved you in that robe. You see, guys? Trust me. I'll guide you through this. Why do I know this? Well, let's just say I've always started out with the first one in all those topics, and I've learned over the years, moving towards safer or safest. All right, I don't have a whole lot of time left for this. One other thing I'll share with you. My wife and I were at some kind of marriage encounter weekend or something, and it's where you have to write letters, you know, so I wrote her letter to me. You have to write a letter, and she said, "I don't know what to write." I said, "Here, let me write it. I'll write your letter to me." It was really very uplifting letter. I thought it had a lot of mosts and ESTs in it as I described me, and then I just asked her at the end, "Here, can you sign this?" Part of the problem with getting in one of these whatever they are, conferences or weekends, marriage encounter weekends, is that they sometimes look to me as the paragon of communication. So the lady that was the facilitator said, "Gentlemen, it's essential that you know things, the little things about each other that make you feel close. She said, Ray, she called me out because she knew I was, I'm glad to step up. Can you describe your wife's favorite flower? I stood up. I smiled at us, a little smug. I said, yes, it's Pillsbury. I think it's Pillsbury. And it used to be gold medal, but I think it's Pillsbury. So I pretty much did the rest of that weekend by myself. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In on this E-Person Monday. Good Lord permit and get a chance to talk with you face-to-face, ear-to-ear, tomorrow. Walk with God always. Always. And God knows your wife's favorite flower.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.